Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
A 70-year-old Swedish woman in Dalarna is being prosecuted for hate speech after claiming on Facebook she saw migrants defecating in the streets and setting fire to cars. According to the prosecution, the woman, quote, expressed a disparaging view of refugees on Facebook. She stands accused of having taken to social media in early June of 2015 to make, quote, derogatory posts alleging that immigrants set fire to cars, urinated and defecated in the streets. The story comes from Breitbart News, The Daily Wire, and numerous other news sources. And the accused admitted that she wrote the post, but denied committing any criminal act. The evidence against her consists of a screenshot from Facebook, and according to local media, people took to Flashback, the net's largest Swedish language forum, to criticize the state's decision to prosecute her, with one poster lamenting the accused, quote, has fallen into the clutches of the politically correct. Well, friends, with that, I welcome you to Stand in the Gap Today. This is Dave Kistler, and I'm joined today by the entire team, Sam Rohr and Gary Dahl. And men, as you know, the North Carolina Pastors Network, a little over a week ago, posted a billboard along Interstate 40 in the westbound lane outside of Hickory, North Carolina, that stated the following, and this is the exact wording. Why support President Trump's immigration ban? Question mark. Here's the answer. 19 Muslim immigrants killed 2,977 Americans on 9/11/2001. And men, as you well know by now, that simple and true statement has drawn the attention of CNN, Fox News, and the nation on social media. And the problem? Well, that's going to be our discussion in the majority of the program today, at least in segments one and two. And then in segments three and four, we're going to talk about the consequences of political correctness. And most importantly, what do we need to do to defeat that thing that is literally sucking the life out of the United States of America called political correctness? Men, let me ask you a question about the statement on the billboard. As our friend Todd Starnes, who of course has picked up on this and posted one of the billboards that's actually showing up in another state, not actually ours from North Carolina, but he posted a picture of one of the other billboards. And here was the caption on his Facebook page, quote, can you guess why critics are calling this billboard racist and hateful? And, of course, he doesn't provide an answer. He's trying to prompt discussion. Sam, let me go to you first. Is there anything racist in putting up a billboard that has the caption that we had? And certainly, is there anything hateful?
Well, Dave, no, there's not. I mean, if you look at that statement the way it is, that 19 immigrants, as was posted there, killed 2,977 Americans, 9/11/01. Dave, that is a statement of fact. Now, I will say that there are some people who I have looked at who have looked at that and said, aha, you're wrong. You're wrong because they weren't immigrants. Well, come on now. Well, they were here. They were not Americans.
We're going to get into that, Sam, momentarily,
Dave,
so hang
Dave,
on.
You know, hang on. But, Dave, you know, you can parse it however you want to parse it, but as a statement of fact, that is a statement of fact. It is true. There's nothing about that that would say racist. What is racist? Are immigrants a race or are Muslims a race? No, neither one. Is it hateful? Not as far as it stands. It's a statement. Now, if the statement is true, perceived to be wrong, then we got a problem with truth. So, Dave, that's how it is. This, we can spend a whole program on this, and we're going to spend a lot of time on it, but it's most interesting to see who it was that responded negatively and what they said. We'll get into that, but I think it's very telling.
We sure will. Gary, let me go to you. Anything racist or hateful about the statement?
Well, no, not on this particular one that's on the bulletin board that the North Carolina Pastors Network put up. I don't know exactly what the other one said that Todd Starnes made reference to. But I think that what people are missing here, Dave and Sam, is the idea that when somebody sees a sign like that, there might be two things that they're missing. First of all, they're simply looking at Donald Trump. And, you know, there are a lot of people in our country today who hate Donald Trump. And, of course, when Donald Trump has come up with this idea of the immigration ban, All that he's trying to do is to protect the citizens of the United States of America, which he has taken an oath to do. And so it's those, I would imagine, who are no-Trumpers, anti-Trumpers, who are really making all of these negative comments. The second part, though, is that people just simply do not understand the culture and the efforts of Islam. I mean, it's true that it was the 19 Muslim immigrants who killed these people on 9/11/01. And that's their culture. That's their way of life. And so you've got myriads of people in our nation today, David, who simply do not understand the teaching of the Quran, the culture of Islam, and therefore they try to say that what NCPN is doing or what we are doing is hateful, is racist, and is out of line, and that's absolutely not true.
Well, gentlemen, the myriad of comments that came into our Facebook page and our website that were negative were all, well, I say all, the majority of them were profanity-laced. Some had very sexually explicit material in them, and they focused on several arguments. And you could tell that many of them had copied talking points or were given talking points because of the way the barrage of response came in initially. You could tell it was an orchestrated attack by those on the left. But here were the three major complaints or the arguments offered against the billboard. Number one, the 19 were not immigrants. Now, let me answer that. We had a choice we had to make with the word we used there. They were actually here, most of them, on either an H-1 or a B-1 student visa, which are visitor visas. They're short-term visas. But most people don't know what an H-1 visa is. They don't know what a B-1 visa is. And you've got limited space on a billboard. The only thing technically that would keep these guys, the 19, from being considered immigrants was their intent to be here long-term. But here's the point. Nobody knew what their intent was except them. They were the ones that knew they were going to kill themselves in the terror attacks they were going to perpetrate. The people that lived around them didn't know, you know, their long-term or lack of long-term intent. Certainly the people that died on 9/11 did not know their intent. And to be honest with you guys, the federal government didn't really know much of their intent either, because the federal government had lost track of these guys. Some of them had overstayed their temporary visa and were actually illegal at the time they perpetrated the horrific acts of 9/11. So to focus on the word and the technicality of it is just really, in one sense, a mute issue. The second thing that some have said is this: 2,977 people died, but they weren't all American. There were 200 and some, maybe just approaching 300 people that were foreign nationals. They were living in America at the time, but they didn't actually have American citizenship. And as one person said on Facebook, so? The point is, 2,977 people living in America, we chose to use the word Americans, died. So the point is, this happened. It is a statement of fact. It is truthful. The one common denominator that we were trying to draw attention to in that attack, as well as all the attacks that we're watching happen around the globe right now, the one common denominator, Islamic ideology. And that is what must be dealt with. Well, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about how truth is now the new hate speech. Don't miss this critically important discussion. You're listening to Stand in the Gap today. Dave Kistler, Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, join us right after this brief break.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teacher's editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like. The Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website. AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
How dare you post a billboard like this? You aren't even Christian. You're all hate mongers. You're worse than the terrorist that attacked us on 9/11. Why don't you just die now? Well, friends, these are just some of the comments we received to the placement of a truthful billboard on Interstate 40 in the westbound lane just outside Hickory, North Carolina, about a week and a half ago. And we're going to talk about some of the other responses that we got momentarily, but I think we have a caller, Mac, on the line. Mac, if you're there, your comment about the billboard, and what do you think?
Well, I think you guys are this pastor of this church in North Carolina. Like I talked to you earlier off air, coming down there and doing some fishing with you. Now I'm really in. You say other churches are getting on board. This basically, brother, pastor, this just goes to what I've been saying for years. When the church starts mobilizing and getting serious about what's going wrong in our country, things start to move. I'm totally convinced, and I remember it like it happened seconds ago, when Pastor Gary Dahl said, "Lord, I'm going to be bold, put Donald Trump in office." When the church mobilizes, and to quote Brother Sam Rohr, instead of being non-involved bystanders, but when we actually start moving, things start to happen. And it's my prayer that we'll see a billboard like this up in Pennsylvania along the interstate, that we'll see it along the eastbound of the going into the Pennsylvania Turnpike, heading in the Philadelphia area, that we'll see it all over the place. We've got our areas up here that we'll see one in Coatesville, that we'll just see them all over the place, and then, you know, tweak them up, spin them up, make them, you know. Right now, the liberals are in a frenzy. They're, and you would know this being from South, Brother Dave. What they're doing right now is tantamount to a 4-year-old stomping his feet and having a temper tantrum while he's standing in a meadow muffin. He's just splattering it up.
I like that, Mac.
Mac, let me tell you, my friend, we love you for a lot of reasons, but you can sure paint a picture, my friend. Thank you for your comments. Gary, let me ask you something, because Mac obviously, as I guess everybody does, has a very strong opinion about things. And, he obviously stated his belief well. He didn't put any profanity in. He certainly wasn't sexually explicit like a lot of the comments we received were. But let me ask you, why is there such a visceral response now to a billboard talking about what happened 16 years ago when, Gary, I honestly believe if this same statement had been posted one day after the 9/11 attacks, if on 9/12/01 a billboard like this had gone up, no one would have even blinked an eye. What has happened in the 16 years that have transpired in between?
Oh, I agree with you, Dave, and I think what has happened is the fact that people have forgotten the severity of it. You know, I can remember I was asked to participate in a prayer gathering at the Pentagon the Friday after 9/11/01. And driving from where I live in Altoona, Pennsylvania, down to Washington, D.C., almost every bridge I crossed under, David, either had a flag on it or written, "God Bless America." Of course, as you recall, for 3 or 4 weeks, many churches had an increase in their attendances and so forth. The ACLU and the atheists, if you will recall, David, they were totally silent. They were totally silent as people spoke up and said, "God bless America." But here we are, 16 years down the road, as it were, and consequently, people forgot the serious devastation of that particular day. And so when truth then is told about what happened back in 9/11 or any of these other, I'll put it this way, Islamic attacks, Islamic terrorist activities and actions around the globe, then people say that's hate speech. Not understanding, Dave, the fact that Islam is out to steal and to kill and to destroy those who are not a part of their culture. And that's where we are with it.
Well, men, despite the negative, vulgar, explicit, and genuinely hateful comments that we definitely got, there has been, Sam, an absolute, and I don't even know any other way to describe it other than to use this word, a gold mine. An absolute gold mine, and I've kept every one of them, of comments telling us to keep up both the good work we're doing and the billboard. Let me just give you a few of the incredible comments that have come in. This one, don't give up to the leftist politically correct crowd. Keep the billboard up. Second comment, saw the billboard and love it. Finally, someone is willing to speak the truth we all know. How about this one? I know that you're receiving and will receive all kinds of criticism, but don't back down. The truth is the truth. And I could go on and on and on. I have got a litany of these positive comments that have come in. But Sam, I'm going to say this before I go to you. The ones that have moved me literally to tears have been the comments and the phone calls. And yes, there were phone calls that came to me from 9/11 victim families. One lady called me and said, I had two of my family members at Ground Zero. Thankfully, they both survived the attack there. But she said, do not back up. Do not give in to the left as they're trying to silence you. Do not allow them to force you to take this billboard down because what you spoke is the truth. We have seen the face of evil. We have seen what Islamic ideology is all about. Do not back up. And Sam, honestly, it was hard for me to carry on the conversation without crying to listen as she shared her story, as others have shared their story. Sam, what is it from your perspective that's going on that causes those of us that were not maybe a part of it, right in the middle of it, to, in 16 years, back away and now consider a truthful statement to be hate speech?
Well, Dave, that is, I think it goes to the very, very heart of what we are seeing throughout our media generally. And it's not necessarily the source of political correctness, but it is wrapped up into it. But if we recall, we've talked about a lot in this program, after 9/11 occurred, President Bush went on the air and he made it very, very clear, don't get upset about Islam. This was only a small cadre. These were outliers. These were fanatics within Islam. They do not reflect Islam, a peaceful religion. Remember, we talked about that? And as we've had former Muslims on this program said, the first historical account of any leader making a statement ever linking Islam with peace was George Bush. Because Islam means submission. Nothing about it is peaceful, ever. And that's not what they promise, and that's not what they go for. So from that day, Dave, until now, we have witnessed perhaps the grandest implementation of, I think, strategic propaganda foisted upon us, integrated by the Muslim Brotherhood, Council on American Islamic Affairs, CARE, the ones that were behind a lot of the hate speech that was coming your way after the billboard was put up. This has permeated the halls of Congress. It has permeated government. It has permeated the media so that anyone who says anything negative about Islam or connecting a jihadist to Islam is to say we are making a wrong conclusion and that's a lie. Dave, the fact of the matter is it's a lie to believe that Islam is peaceful. That we are being victimized by a propaganda and the withholding of truth, Dave. The truth from the media, withholding of truth from those in government who are afraid to say it like it is, and a withholding of truth from the majority of the pulpits in America who are afraid to lay it out like it is. That's why you can be now these many years past 9/11 and have so many stand up and say how terrible, although a week, a month, or maybe 6 months past 9/11, it would have been just a statement of fact.
Gentlemen, let me read something to you. These are comments made by Dwight D. Eisenhower when he viewed some of the death camps in Germany toward the very end of the war. I want you to listen to what he said. Quote, "The things I saw beggar description. While I was touring the camp, I encountered three men that had been inmates and by one ruse or another had made their escape. I interviewed them through an interpreter. The visual evidence and verbal testimony of starvation, cruelty, and bestiality was so overpowering as to leave me sick. In one room where they were piled up, 20 or 30 naked men killed by starvation. George Patton would not even enter. He said he would get sick if he did so. I made the visit deliberately in order to be in position to give first-hand evidence of these things if ever in the future there develops the tendency to charge these allegations merely to propaganda." By the way, Gary, that comment is actually on the wall, or was, I don't know if it still is, but when they first opened the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., that entire statement was on the wall by Dwight Eisenhower. In other words, there will come a day when people will say what happened here in these death camps did not really happen. To talk about it is mere propaganda. Gary, what we're trying to do is keep the most horrific attack that ever occurred in the United States of America, 9/11/2001, from becoming called propaganda. And we're trying to keep that same type thing from ever happening again in the future. I'd love to have your comments.
Oh, yes. And, you know, you've got the revisionists out there who completely want to rewrite our history, whether you're talking about back in the days of the Holocaust or what happened in 9/11. And it's very important for those of us who love this nation to keep the truth and the reality of history before our people.
Well, friends, when we come back, we're going to talk about what can be done and where it must be done to keep truth, as the scripture says, from falling in the streets. Friends, we're going to take a brief time out. You come back. You're listening to Stand in the Gap today. And this is Dave Kistler, Gary Doyle, Sam Rohr. Please be part of this vitally important next segment and then our final solution segment at the very end of the program. Join us in just a few minutes.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap today.
Well, friends, we're talking today about the denial of reality in America and how even speaking truth is now deemed hateful. Gentlemen, before we go any further, I want to share something with you that happened yesterday. I was walking through the house. Of course, it was Memorial Day, and I walked past one of the televisions in our home, and it was displaying one of the old Andy Griffith Show episodes, and it was the one where Opie and a couple of his friends are seen walking down the streets of Mayberry wearing toy gun belts. They have their guns in their holsters, and at one point, Opie sees his dad get out of his patrol car. His dad steps out onto the sidewalk, and Opie looks at his dad in a playful way and says, "You're going to be forced to draw." And he draws one of his pistols out and makes like he's shooting at his dad. And, of course, the camera turns to Andy, and he's sort of got a smile, a loving smile on his face. And then back to Opie, and Opie says, "Fall, Dad. You're supposed to fall when you get shot." And Andy says, "Well, I've got way too much to do to die right now." And, of course, there's the laughter in the background. My point in bringing that up, gentlemen, is this. You both know that that scene, that innocent scene of a child playing with a gun, would never be portrayed on a modern television show. No, now toy guns are not just frowned on, they're demonized. You remember, guys, a couple of years ago where a middle school, elementary school young man ate his peanut butter and jelly sandwich in the form of what looked like a gun, and he was actually suspended from school for a day or two for doing that. Now, my question is this. What in the world, Sam, what in the world is happening to American culture? What's happening to the church? What's happening to pastors when we've allowed, and I don't know another term to use, this wussification of our culture to take place?
Well, Dave, what has happened is that I think you have to link it. You have to link it to the rejection of truth. And what I mean by that is this. The truth, as we would say, the truth only is found in God, and it is in the Word of God, the Bible. That is the source of truth. And we talk about truth, that's it. So when you go there and you find out what the truth says that there are institutions of authority, individual, the home, the church, and civil government. There are specific roles for men and for women. There are attitudes. There are positions of priority and honor and all that kind of thing. Children in relationship to mom and dad. Citizens relationship to those in office. Dave, all of those things come right out of the heart and the mind of God relative to the role of what is and what should be the function of people, institutions, in society. Fathers have always been about protecting their children. Any position of authority should be about protecting. Well, that takes you to the issue of the gun. And what you're talking about is not just that issue of the toy gun. But when we move away from what God says, then you get into this whole menagerie of confusion where men can be women and women can be men. And if I say I'm a dog, well, then I'm a dog. And if I say I'm a whatever, I can be whatever. Because there is no boundary. We remove all boundaries, Dave, and with that become certain duties and responsibilities. And part of that is men, as leaders, protectors of their families. And I think the wussification word you used is, in fact, a part of it. Because if you can emasculate the man so that he no longer does the performance of a father who protects and leads and guides, or a husband who does the same thing, then, in fact, you have destroyed the family unit. And you destroy the family unit, Dave, you will destroy society. So there's a lot wrapped up into this, but I would go there and say it all stems, we've rejected God's model.
Sam, excellent, excellent comments. Gary, you, of course, have pastored for many, many years, and I want to talk to you about what's happening in the church. Based on what Sam said, the rejection of truth, the rejection of God himself, who is the truth, have we now, or are we now watching within the Church of Jesus Christ such weakness, reflective, really, of the culture that's around us, so that when, even in the church, strength is observed or strength is seen, and it may be strength in the leadership position. The pastor takes a strong stance on something. He says something from the pulpit that is true, and he voices it in a strong way. Are we now at a place where strength is deemed to be over the top? You know, that's unloving. And what role do pastors in the pulpit play in this entire discussion that we're having?
Well, Dave, you know, you asked the question there a little bit ago, have we wussified society? And the answer is yes, and I think we've wussified the pulpit. You know, we talk a lot about the pulpit here on Stand in the Gap today. And I've also used the other term, and I think you have too, and that is that we've sissified the pulpit in the fact that it is the pulpit that does not preach the unadulterated truth of the Word of God as it is revealed in the Word of God. You know, you take a look at the Old Testament prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, all of them. They did not mince any words. And because of that, people got to know who God is and what God expects. Today, we are living in a time and age when even in the pulpit, words are minced. And, let's just put out some names here. You've got the names of Joel Osteen. When you hear him speak, why, everything is good and proper and fine and loving and smiley and the whole thing. That's really not biblical Christianity. And I know I might be in trouble by saying that, but that's not biblical Christianity. And yet that's where we are today. And so many people within the body of Christ follow that particular trend. And I've got to believe, Dave, that it goes back to what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, when it's talking about the latter days. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Here it is, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And I don't want to get into an interpretation of that other than to say that the application of it is we are living in a day when seducing spirits and doctrines of devils is sissifying the pulpit, sissifying the average individual Christian, and thus the power and the strength of God through his word is not being revealed. That's sad, particularly when you take into consideration that the church is to be the pillar and the ground of what? The truth.
Sam, let me ask you this before we go to the break, and I want to be real careful here so that I'm not misunderstood. Let me preface my comments by saying this. There's not a single church I've ever been in, but what it was made better by the presence of godly women. There's not a gathering I've ever participated in, but what it would have been made better had there not been more godly women present. So this is not in any way to be interpreted as a put down of the godly women who played a role not only in biblical times and certainly play a role in God's church today. But Sam, I'm just wondering, is the church now geared perhaps more toward the feelings of the feminine rather than the strengths of the masculine? If you understand what I'm saying, there's a great book written several years ago called Why Men Hate Church, and it kind of touched on this topic. Do you think there is a removal of the masculine even from the emphasis in the Church of Jesus Christ?
Dave, that's a great question, and we probably talk a long time. I think I'm going to, to an extent, I would say yes, but I'm not so sure that it is a move that's intentionally being made to make men act more like women, as much as I believe that we have moved in a broader sense away from anything defined, be it a role that is defined or a responsibility that is defined. We don't talk in terms of duty anymore, obligation, responsibility. Those words are basically not in the current culture. When you define a standard, when you define anything that relates to that, you define an expectation for performance in the way a father or a man ought to act and live and think and speak in a woman. At that point, we are defining certain roles. Well, where's that come from? The feminist movement has discarded any kind of saying everybody's equal. There is no difference between men and women. Be a transgender. Do whatever you want to be. It's not, and that is a, Dave, that I think is a part of the larger aspect of what we have. And so when you stand up and say, wait a minute, there is a way. Men, you must provide for your children. That's a definitive statement. God said it. Well, that's hard. That's mean. How many times we hear any preaching even along that line, Dave? I think it comes again back to we've thrown truth out. We don't want to hurt people's feelings. And as a result, Dave, you're free to do whatever you want to do. But society never functions successfully that way. And God never blesses a family, a person, or a nation that walks away and says, we're going to do our own thing, be whatever you want to be. We're in dangerous territory, I think, because of that.
Gentlemen, let me tell you why I'm so burdened about this and concerned about it. You guys have been on tours of the United States Capitol. You've been down in the room just under the Capitol Dome where they have some of the statues. Each state is allowed to submit to the statues of two individuals that were significantly impactful to their state. And one of the statues is of a preacher by the name of Peter Muhlenberg, who during the American Revolution walked into his pulpit wearing his black clerical robe. Underneath, he had his colonial colonel's uniform on. And he had his finger tucked into his Bible at the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and he read those powerful verses, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven. He dropped down to verse 8 where it says there's a time for war, time for peace, unbuttons his clerical robe, underneath is his colonel's uniform, walks down the center aisle of his church, and 300 men followed him into what we now call the Revolutionary War. And God used a preacher and men to be part of the founding of this country and our Declaration of Independence. Guys, I'm concerned. If we face that today based on the wussified pulpits that we see and the sissified men that we see so often in America, would they step up at this particular time? Well, we're going to talk about the solution to this in the next segment after this brief time.
I'm sitting here right now looking at the beautiful full-color Founders Bible. In addition to the trustworthy New American Standard text, it contains original historical artwork, as well as 64 full-color insert pages, 150 biographies or insightful quotes from the founders, and 450 pages of embedded commentary highlighting biblical insights. This beautiful leather-bound volume produced by historian David Barton has a gold-embossed APN logo on the front. It can be yours this month as you support APN with a gift of $250 or more. To see it and make your gift, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. If you can't send $250 right now, we'd still like to hear from you. In gratitude for a gift of any amount, we'll send you a wonderful audio CD by Sam Rohr entitled God's Plan for a Blessed Nation. It will bless and challenge you. Let us hear from you today. Remember, all gifts to APN are tax deductible. Thank you, and God bless you.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, it's just now breaking over the wire that Ariana Grande will return to Manchester, England to host a concert to raise money for the victims of last week's deadly bombing. At her show, publicist for the pop star announced Tuesday that Grande will play a charity concert in Manchester on Sunday, joined by other big names, including Coldplay, Justin Bieber, Katy Perry, and others. They're going to call the concert One Love Manchester, and it will be held in the city's old Tafford Cricket Ground. And, of course, friends, this is coming less than 2 weeks after an Islamic suicide bomber killed 22 people at Ariana Grande's concert there in Manchester. The proceeds are going to go to an emergency fund set up by the City of Manchester and the British Red Cross. I want you to listen to the statement made by Ariana Grande, or at least her publicist. It was filled with a measure of defiance and probably was heavy with emotion. Here's what she said, quote, "We won't let hate win." Now, that's politically correct language, but it is defiant, and I don't think we should let hate win. But she went on and said, "We won't let this divide us. I'm extending my hand and heart and everything I possibly can to give to you and yours." So, Sam, let me go to you. Ariana Grande's response to a horrific terror attack is to push back against it. What we've been talking about today is the rise of political correctness in the United States of America. How do we push back against political correctness? What do we do?
Dave, we push back by understanding that there is a standard. There, and that standard is linked to truth, or it is linked to law, whatever that may be, a principle, we'd say a biblical principle, that's linked to truth. And we must become more concerned about telling the truth, living the truth, not believing a lie or deceiving others, or it comes back again to truth, Dave. That's one of the things here about this Islamic attack and so forth, and she's pushing back. That's a good thing. Why do we try to tell people about the real fundamental beliefs of Islam? Why? Well, because ultimately it's an ideology that is anti-God, God of the Bible. It's anti-Jesus Christ. It is anti in every way. Dave, how can a person understand this battle that we're in unless somebody tells them the truth? The whole thing about political correctness is that people are far more concerned about avoiding controversy sometimes than they are about their fixation on truth. If we're more fixated on truth, Dave, we will tell the truth regardless, because we know that that's what God uses to take and to instruct people and to make the difference and bring clarity out of confusion. David, we have to be fixated more on the truth than we are the fear of man. That's the bottom line.
Sam, that is a great way to segue into what I want to go to Gary about. Two of the comments we received as a result of the billboard were, to me, beyond intriguing. One of them was from a gentleman out in Oregon. He was not far from the Umpqua Community College, where there was a terrorist attack that college. And I'm very familiar with that section of the country. I've been and preached in that area of Oregon many, many times. Very familiar with the Umpqua Community College. But what happened there is a Muslim terrorist asked the Christians to stand up. All of you that are Christians, stand up. So we put them on notice. And when they stood up, he began picking them off one by one. And the gentleman who wrote me said, Dave, I struggled then because I am a Christian. I struggled. What would I have done had I been in the room? And then he said this, and this is an amazing statement. He said, when I saw your billboard, it caused me to come to clarity with where I am with my God. And he said, to be honest with you, I'm returning back to church. I'm going back to a time of daily prayer and devotion because it's helped me clarify where I really need to stand on what you said, Sam, the truth. One other comment I got, Gary, and I want to get your thoughts on this. The man literally said this after chastising us for putting the billboard up. He said, and this is a direct quote, your billboard is most definitely the truth, comma, but where is the love? As if communication of a hard fact, 2,977 people died at the hands of Islamic ideologically committed individuals on 9/11/01. That hard fact is deemed to be unloving. Gary, talk about how we can't really love, not biblically for sure and not genuinely, unless we love in the truth.
Well, the Bible says speak the truth in love. And one of the applications that you can derive from that, Dave, is the fact that if we are going to be loving others, then we will speak the truth as it is. And that doesn't mean to soften it, but it does mean to speak it directly. And, you know, as we've been talking back and forth here and taking off a little bit on what Sam said, we emphasize on this program the significance of truth. We talk about truth. And in the last segment, I think I mentioned that, you know, the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. That's 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Dave, I think one of the things that concerns me is that you've got many Christians and maybe even many pastors who don't know the truth. And because they don't study and know the Word of God, and I think that every one of us, if we're looking at solutions here, whether it's related to terrorism or same-sex marriages or whatever the case may be, you know, as Christians, we need to get to know the truth so that we will then live the truth so that we might be able to tell the truth to others. Know the truth, live the truth, and tell the truth to others. And we need to put off this sissified, wussified direction that we're going. You know, two places in the Word of God. One place is 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 9, and the other one is 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13, where the Word of God says, quit ye like men and be strong. Really what that is saying is act like a man. Men must act like men, and of course when men act like men, then the women will act like the women, and we're not going to go down that route today. But we do need men who are going to stand for the truth, act like men, live like men, as the Word of God states it. I think that that's a part of the solution that will go a long, long way.
Sam, I'm going to ask you to close us in prayer, and feel free to make any comments or wrap this up and tie it all together. But before you do, let me share one last thing. This is the capstone, the pinnacle of all the responses we've received with respect to our billboard. We got a phone call. One of our other pastors in our network actually did. He called me immediately and said, Dave, you got to listen to this. It was a call from a former Muslim who's converted to Christianity and is now a missionary in the country of Iraq, ministering to the persecuted church. And he said to this mutual friend of all three of us, this fellow pastor, part of our network, he said, I want you to know that the persecuted church in Iraq is praying for the North Carolina pastors, the Tennessee pastors, the men that are part of the American Pastors Network, that you will stand strong, that you will not back up, that you will continue to speak the truth so clearly communicated on this billboard. Sam, this is coming from those who are really being persecuted and they're praying for us. That's almost overwhelming.
Dave, I am glad they're praying. And that, ladies and gentlemen, understand, this is where it comes down to. It is the matter of truth. And Gary, I'll add one comment to you before I pray. You said when we know the truth, we can live the truth. I'll be more precise, ladies and gentlemen. The truth is Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Knowing him, that's the difference. Ladies and gentlemen, Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this program today, for being able to talk about these things across the airwaves of America. May the truth burn itself into the hearts and the minds of those who are listening and edify and strengthen and give courage to all of those who know the truth. And you are the truth, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Well, friends, can we encourage you today, if you know Christ as Savior, live a robust faith. Be courageous in your faith. Don't be unkind, but be courageous, be bold, and live the truth where you are. Join us again tomorrow, 23 hours from now.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.